you would, take your Bibles and open it to Exodus, the 10th chapter. And we'll be reading beginning in verse 21, going through verse 29. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called upon Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Remember, if you will, we made mention this morning that it would best divide these plagues into 3 nights. The first 3, the second 3, and the third 3. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 29, it's the beginning of that 9th plague, the final plague of the group of 9 before that 10th plague hits. I remember many years ago watching the old Fred Sanford comedian show. And every so often, old Fred would grab his chest and he said, oh, this is the big one. Well, this particular plague here was right before the big one, the 10th plague, that Pharaoh literally drove the children of Israel out of Egypt. But remember, if you will, as we were reading in this particular text of Scripture, this 9th plague, this plague that we would refer to as darkness in the land, was going to last 3 days. That doesn't sound like a very long length of time, because 3 days goes by rather quickly. But think, if you will, what's going on here, this particular plague, this 9th plague. It was a plague of darkness. It was an unusual darkness. It was a darkness so deep, a darkness so dark, a darkness so thick that the Bible says you could feel it. It was so thick and so dark that you could be crowded together in a room of 6 or 8 or 10 people and you absolutely could not even see the image of a person. Can you imagine? imagine what it must have been like to have spent 3 days and three nights in absolute total darkness all over the Egyptian land. No one could see anyone for 3 days. There wasn't any artificial light capable of breaking that darkness. There wasn't any oil you could burn, any candle that could be lit. There wasn't anything available to man that could break that darkness. Now remember, if you will, Moses had approached Pharaoh on several different occasions. Remember the first time that he went to Pharaoh and he said, we need to let the people go and they need to go out and worship Jehovah God, their God. They haven't been able to worship God. And Pharaoh said, you know, you guys must have lost your mind. These people have to work. They've got to make bread. They've got a quota to keep. We don't have time to let the people go. You need to keep them to their task. And they made it harder and harder on them. Moses went back on another time. And after some plagues had hit, and Pharaoh said, well, I tell you what you can do. You can let the men go and the wives. But the children and the cattle, they stay behind. That didn't work. And then later on, Moses approached Pharaoh again, and Pharaoh said, on this occasion, you can go, the children can go, the wives can go, but you keep your cattle and your herds, your flocks back in Goshen. You know, Moses could sometimes be just as hard as Pharaoh. Because Moses looked old Pharaoh right straight in the face and he says, Pharaoh, we're not leaving one hoof behind. Everybody goes, or no one. It made Pharaoh so mad. It upset Pharaoh so much that he basically kind of expelled Moses. Says, just get on out of here. And don't you come back before me again. Don't let me see your face in this palace again. And if I see it, you'll die. Moses said, I tell you what. You're not going to see my face again. And then, from that plague, came the death of the firstborn. And it was at that point that they were permitted to leave Egypt. Leave the land of Goshen. Cross the Red Sea and start their way toward Mount Sinai. Have you ever thought about in the New Testament? We read about darkness once again, but under different circumstances. Remember, if you will, when the sinless Son of God was crucified on the cross of Calvary, there was a period of time when total darkness went over the world. Now, there's a lot of emphasis placed on darkness and light. Light and darkness. And what makes light? What makes darkness? And many times it talks about the fact that light can, or darkness can shut off light. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 1. In John, chapter 1, it begins man's talking about the beginning. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Notice, if you will, what John is saying here in the first chapter of this book. He's saying that God the Father, as well as God the Son, was in the beginning. They were there at the creation. Now we're reading where the Son of God was now in the world. And He's considered to be light in the midst of darkness. Amen. Moses was there to bring light in the midst of darkness. But Pharaoh refused to listen to anything Moses had to say. And Jehovah God knew exactly what the Word of God was going to do to Pharaoh's heart. Jehovah God knew every time Moses spoke to him, his heart would become harder, more callous. And it got to the point that it took absolute, total darkness. Darkness so thick that you could feel it. That Pharaoh was beginning to realize this is not going to work out for the best of the Egyptian people. Notice, if you will, beginning in verse 6, it shifts context in John chapter 1. It's been talking about the Son of God, how that He was the light that came in darkness. But then in verse 6 it changes to John the Baptist. Notice what it says. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now notice what it's saying here. John the Baptist came. Remember, he was the one that saw Jesus coming when they were baptizing. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." His purpose was to bear witness of the light, to let people know the light was coming. The light could bring light in the midst of darkness. Now remember, if you will, many years later, the Apostle Paul would pen a letter to the Roman Christians. And in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 21, Paul has this to say. He says, when they knew God, they knew the light. They knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, Paul said during his day, The same thing took place that took place back here in Pharaoh's day. Remember how these plagues started? And it says Pharaoh's heart would get hard. Each plague that came along, instead of Pharaoh acknowledging God, acknowledging Moses as a prophet of God, he rebelled and rebelled and rebelled. Paul says they were doing that during his day in Romans chapter 1. He says their foolish heart was darkened when they heard the word of God. Now, Paul would write a similar letter, not to the Romans, but to the Ephesian Christians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, he reminded those Christians. Oh, they had been in darkness, but now they were in light. Well, why were they in light? Because they heard the light. They heard the light of the gospel preached. And they were buried with their Lord in baptism and came up a new creation. And Paul warns them. He said, now look, you don't need to walk as the Gentiles walk. Having their understanding, listen, darkened and being alienated from the life of God. You see how things are going on now in the New Testament? Just as they were back in Pharaoh's day. Do you see how that the New Testament used light and darkness, darkness and light, to picture the spiritual welfare or lack of spiritual welfare that was going on in his day? Now, remember also, if you will, Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. Let's flip over not to John, but let's go over to 1 John. And in 1 John, chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 5. But if you remember, we've referred to the first section of this part of 1 John a number of times. That's where John is speaking to those in his day. Remember, he was the last living apostle. As a matter of fact, he was the only apostle that did not have his life taken because of the preaching of the gospel. He's an old man now. He's writing the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, as well as John, and then he'll write the Revelation. And it says in verse 1 of 1st John, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifest or made known, and we've seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested in us, that which we have seen and heard desire we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ, and those things write we unto you, that your joy might be made full. Oh, how precious this is. Amen. We're talking about fellowship. John says our fellowship, the apostles' fellowship, was with the sinless Son of God Himself. We saw Him, heard Him, and handled Him, and we want you to enjoy that same fellowship. Oh, how precious it is. Look what he says beginning in verse 5. This then is the message which we heard of him. Declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You see, Moses was trying to let Pharaoh know that his God was a God of light, but his God could bring darkness upon the whole nation if you rebelled against his word. Here John is saying toward the end of his life, 85, 95 year old preacher, telling them that God is light and in Him is not one little speck, not one little particle of darkness. There's no word in this in Him. Notice what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see why Jesus was so encouraged about His work, excited about His work, never wasting a moment of time telling who He was and why He was there, and signifying it with signs and wondrous events? You see why He would say in John chapter 9 and in verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day, because night cometh when no one can work. See how light and darkness is portrayed over and over again. He goes on to say in John chapter 9 and in verse 39, He says, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they that see might be made blind. What are you saying, Lord? Tell me what's going on. If you want to see someone excited, just be around Billy for a few moments. Because Billy understands what many of you take for granted. He knows how precious the Word of God is. And he gets excited when you begin to talk about it, because in the past, he didn't know about that light. He just thought he knew about the light. But he was really in darkness. And Jesus said, I came for people like Billy, that he might see the light and accept it. But then he also knew that there would be people like Pharaoh. Oh, they would know the truth. They were born in God's family. They were Israelites by birth. But when they heard Jesus, when they saw Him confirm the Word with signs and wonders and miracles, they would crucify Him and hang Him on the cross. Why? Because their hearts would become hard. They would know, but they in reality were made blind and could not see, as if they were in darkness, because they rejected the Word. You see why it's so important that we know what a precious thing it is to be in fellowship with God, be in fellowship with His Son, be in fellowship with the Spirit, and when we're in fellowship with Him, we're in fellowship with each other. Now later on in this same writing, John would write again to a group about this precious fellowship. Turn over, if you would, to 2 John. 2 John. And notice, if you will, look what he says in 2 John, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Now notice what he warns them about in verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Who doesn't have God? Someone that once had it, but turned away from it, and no longer cares about it, no longer preaches it or teaches it. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If, look at that next word, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers in his evil doctrine. You're sharing in. It's a sad case in the church that Jesus shed his blood and died for. People who profess to be faithful children of God, that believe that they're in fellowship with Christ, will fellowship anybody, everybody under the sun, no matter what they do. I was looking at a book, and the cover stretched all across the bulletin board on hope. And it was written by a man that doesn't believe that baptism is essential for salvation. It was written by a man that believes in the millennium. It was written by a man that believes that one church is just as good as another. What can a man like that is in a Calvinistic position on his teaching and preaching, teach you about biblical hope? Not one single solitary thing can he teach about biblical hope. If you abide with somebody like that, you're just as guilty as he that believes and teaches it. You are sharing in it. Look, folks, this fellowship business is precious. The Word of God is precious. We need to learn it. We need to stand by it. We need to preach it and live by it. Because one day the Bible teaches us that this same preacher of light, this same one who within him is no darkness, is coming back. And he said, I'm going to cast the unprofitable servant out there into outer darkness, and there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The fellowship we enjoy is all a sweet fellowship indeed. But if we're not careful, just as darkness crept over the land of Egypt, the only people that enjoyed the light during that period of time was the Israelite nation living in Goshen. It's sad to say, but there are people in the religious world today that are more concerned about darkness than they are light. How sad it would be for darkness to cover the land, and there would be no light in the land. You see, when we live the truth, when we practice the truth, when we put the church and His kingdom first, then we're light. We're salt. We're seasoning to a world that is starving, to a world that's hungry, to a world that's been in darkness and in many places do not even comprehend the fact that they're in darkness because they never heard the light preached among them. Never heard the light taught among them. Let's live by the light. Let's teach the light. So that darkness will never sweep this country to the point that people turn their backs on God. God help us to reach out to those with good and honest hearts that will hear the gospel, believe the gospel, submit themselves by faith to be born again and go down into the watery grave of baptism to come out a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're in the audience tonight and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel, or if you have and you've turned your backs on God, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that one day you are going to stand before God at the judgment and answer for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Could you think of a better time now than now to make things right? To reconsider the paths of the past and accept the light and stay away from the dark. Need to respond in any way, why not do so as Billy leads us?